Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
What's the difference between crystal castles and an air conditioner?
I got this. No. Don't tell me. Hang on. Patrick, we are at maximum capacity.
Maximum capacity in my basement, Jim.
In your basement. That is maximum capacity. Three. Is how many?
Three.
Three.
That is right.
And then after that, the fire marshal shuts us down.
We'll shut us down.
Yes.
Yep. Mm-hmm. They know it well.
Okay. So we're going to get to who the third person is here in just a moment. Before we do that, just say you are listening to Rock in the Suburbs, and I'm Jim Linehan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
And our special guest for this episode is Bill Horn. Hello, Bill.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming.
Over,
Bill.
All right.
Appreciate it, man.
Bill and I work together at the day job.
Yep.
And this is very exciting because Bill went for the first time, right?
That's a true story.
To Bonnaroo.
Mm-hmm.
And we just want to talk with him a little
bit about...
I'm
a first-timer Bonnarooer. Yeah. Bonnarooian. Yeah, Bonnarooian.
Bonnarooian.
That's what they say. Right. Something like that.
So we wanted to talk about what that experience is like.
Yeah.
Because you're not... It's not like you're, you know, 22, right?
No. Although I have a 22-year-old daughter.
Right.
Yeah, right. No, she's 20. Yeah. Anyway.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
Moving on.
I got to ask you, Bill, my first question. Did you camp?
Yes and no.
Okay. Tell us about that.
So I went with a friend who's of age, and he went last year with his child, and they camped. And it was, he said it was, you know, ass to elbow and a little, you know, porta potty experience.
Yep.
So he got an RV this year.
Oh.
And he invited me along. And frankly, that kind of put it over the top for me. I'm like, I can do that.
Yeah.
I can do that.
That sounds like a good way to go.
That and U2, which is, you know, kind of a driving force for me.
Yeah.
Made me think there's every reason to go to this. And so I did.
You did it.
Yeah.
And they'd never played there before. Is that right?
If this is true, and I read it somewhere, they've only played two festivals total.
That's what I heard.
American festival ever, which is astonishing to me.
Mm-hmm. Incredible.
And, you know, they're on this Joshua Tree tour, so they had to, like, shrink it a little bit, even though it seemed like a giant stage.
Yeah.
But they had to shrink it for this thing, because they're used to, like, you know, 80,000 stadiums, 80,000-person stadiums. But anyway, so it was...
Very cool.
It made me want to go.
It doesn't... That does not surprise me about U2 because thinking of the timeline that we're on here, right?
Mm-hmm.
So U.S. festivals didn't really become a big thing until the 90s.
Yeah.
I mean, there was always, you know, there were some things like Newport Folk Festival and stuff like that. But in terms
of rock and roll,
not
so much.
Not so much. And by that time, they were huge. And the economics of touring meant, you know, they can fill stadiums on their own. Why are they going
to a good festival,
right?
Mm-hmm.
The UK was a little bit different. Festivals were bigger maybe when they were a smaller band.
Yeah, that's right.
So I could see that.
Yeah.
In fact, festivals as a US concern, before we talked about this before Perry Farrell and Lollapalooza were, to a large extent, like big disasters. If you think of the US Festival.
Oh, yeah,
right?
I remember that.
You know, things like that. So nobody wanted to touch them for a long time.
No.
When was that?
That would have been in the 80s. That was like early
80s. 83, something like that, I think it was.
It was financed by that Steve Wozniak.
That's right.
And he ended
up losing insane amounts of money. Now, to him, you know.
Right.
Well, I was mentioning earlier, so I went to this Mossport Heatwave Festival, which is 1980. They lost a bundle on it.
Hmm.
It was the B-52s. It was Elvis Costello. It was, it was a top-notch, you know, headlining thing, but one stage.
Yeah.
But they lost a bunch of money on it. Hmm. This one, I assume they made money, you know.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, now it's part of like the music industry economy, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's so many of these festivals now. But anyway, okay. So you mentioned the RV. You stayed in an
RV,
right?
The RV.
And you went with friends and family.
Yes.
Right? So how many of your kids?
Well, okay. So the makeup was I had two kids there.
Okay.
I had a daughter who's, I misspoke her. She's 20 and a 23-year-old son.
Hmm.
And then I was with Steve, who was there with his 22-year-old, who was friends with my kids. Now, my daughter was there with her friend Meg. They both go to JMU, and they camped. They camped in tents. And so we heard stories about that, and we thought, glad we're in this RV. It was good.
So how many were in the RV?
Just four of us.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, that sounds doable, yeah.
Yeah, it was very doable. Mm-hmm.
Because the thing about Bonnaroo, it in Manchester, Tennessee.
Manchester,
so
Tennessee.
It really is, like, there's nothing around there, right?
There's nothing around there. Yeah, it's all camping.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like, Lollapalooza, at least, is in Chicago.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
So you can stay in the city.
Or Governor's Ball is in New York, so you
Right. Even Coachella, which has camping, but still has, you know, society around it.
That's right. Yep.
Yeah. So it's true.
So how long were you there?
4 days.
4 days. Wow.
Well, we took a day to get there.
Yeah.
Because it's like a 10-hour drive in the RV, and then a day to get back. So it ends up being quite a, you know, well, it's like a mini vacation.
Yeah.
You know.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But it was, to me, it was worth it. I mean, anyway.
Yeah. So did you guys stay up till the end of the sets every night, or
We're all on slightly different timelines.
Okay, because there were different things that each person wanted to see.
On. Yeah, I got it. I mean, however, there was like 120 bands or something, and it was everybody picked their kind of what they wanted to see. There was a lot of overlap, but then there was not so much overlap here and there.
Yeah,
and we would go into the center roue, as they call it. Like, you go from the camp area, you go through security into center roue, and there's a lot of food and stuff in there, and that's where all, there's like seven stages.
Okay.
And we went in at noon, and the adults in the family, in this extended family, would come out at midnight-ish.
Okay.
So you'd get 12 hours of sun and music and just lots of other stuff.
That's a long
and
day.
Then, yeah. But the youngsters would stay till like 2 a.m. or so, because some things got going late. You know, Flume played at 1 o'clock in the morning, and so everybody was going to go to that. But so that was kind of the schedule. It was rigorous. It was a rigorous
schedule.
Sounds
rigorous. Yeah. Now, did you stick to the schedule that you laid out, or were
no?
Did Wednesday take you other places?
Yes, you hear about, like, you know, like, Jim had talked to me a little bit earlier, and he said, like, they might want to try, like, White Reaper and Yellow Claw and Royal Blood. And those are all on my list, and I saw only one of them.
Okay.
Because we just, like, morphed. We followed a crowd or something else. I saw this band, Dram, and I'm like, Dram is fantastic. I love this band, you know. Or guy, I should say.
Yeah. I like to cha-cha. In a Latin bar, with a Dominican and reasonable
hyena. I like to touch ya. So there's a bit of whimsy involved in it, which makes it more fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
It really
that's
keeps
part of
you
it.
Moving
yeah.
from place
discovery,
to place.
Right?
And discovery.
That's the beauty of the festival.
That is the beauty,
yeah,
right?
It really is.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I think did you mention River Wireless to me? Or?
Yeah.
Yeah. So River Wireless was an early, very early one. Mm. And I was glad we went, though, because they were fantastic.
Yeah,
I mean,
they
it
really
was like
are.
It was a kind of bluegrassy and just beautifully done, you know.
They're very cool.
It was a good setup for the rest of the day.
Yes.
Was it, how did the whole festival experience match your expectations? Because you're probably like really pumped up for this, right? Like thinking what it's going to be like, and then what is it actually like?
That's a really good question. It was better in most ways.
Okay. That's great. That's great.
No, that's
right?
A positive answer, yeah.
And mostly musically.
Okay.
Just it was,
cool.
Because musically, I think I have very eclectic tastes. I can listen to anything that's really good.
Yeah. Right. Yes. That's what I like about you.
We all say that, don't we?
Yeah. I'm the same way.
But that's what I like about you, Bill.
Yeah. Yes. So I went there with a very open mind, and I listened to some bands that I just, you know, this band Crystal Castle. Castles. I was like, blew me away. It was so fantastic.
That sounds like an air conditioner?
Exactly. It sounds like an air conditioner.
We had this joke at work, but anyway, that's funny.
I put my iPhone next to the air conditioner at work and then played it back for Jim, and it sounded kind of like Crystal Castle.
Yeah.
But they were, what a show. I mean, just like blew us away. But I would have never gone to a Crystal Castle concert if they'd come to the 9:30 club or something, which they are coming on September 24th.
Now you'll go.
Now I may go if I can get a ticket. But musically it was really just like eye opening. I would go to many more if I could figure out a way to do it.
And there's a an image of festivals like Bon Rue that it's just going to be crazy throng of young kids, and it's going to be hot and sweaty, and you're just
all true,
you know, and crowded, and you're just not going to like it. And you didn't find that. Well, you said it's all true, but you didn't find that to be the case, right?
It kind of was the case.
Okay.
At certain points, you know, where you're if you're thinking that way, if you're thinking like, oh my God, it's crowded and there's a throng, and you're not into the music as much or something, then you can get to that sort of something. But I won't say physically it wasn't crowded and wasn't hot and there wasn't a throng of young kids. That's all true.
Okay.
But it was still fun. Does that make any sense?
It does make sense.
Because it didn't overwhelm you. It just, like, to me, it energized me. It was like, wow, all these kids like all this music and it's great. And it, you know, it's like you could find something for yourself.
Absolutely.
Were you able to get your daily runs in?
I did get two daily runs.
Good for you.
I'm almost embarrassed to say it, but I did get my runs in. And in fact, they had the first annual Rue Run. That's what they call it. So they've had the first through fifth first annual Rue Run. Don't ask me why they call that. And it was a classic Bonnaroo event in the sense that it was 4.33 miles, not a 5K. It was supposed to be a 5K. People ran off the wrong direction. In fact, the leaders ran off the wrong direction.
Oh, no.
And so we all followed them. And we were exhausted by the end. Right, but anyway, it was perfect. It was just like nobody wanted to really run a competitive run. It was just like, and it ended up not being that at all.
Right.
It was just like a crazy thing.
Sweating out the alcohol.
Okay, yeah. So and one more thing. But did you see other people there who were like old guys like us?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good to know.
There were plenty of old guys like us, and there were plenty of old gals like them, you know? Yeah. Yeah. Mm. I mean, in fact, there might have been more single older women with their kids than single older guys. Not single older guys, but without their husbands.
Individual.
Without their spouses or whatever it was.
Got it.
So, that all said, It is a youthful experience, yeah. And so there are maybe 3 points during the weekend for 7 minutes where I felt a little bit old.
That's pretty darn good.
Yeah,
that's pretty good for 4 days.
That's very good.
All right, so how about this? Let's take a little break.
Let's do that.
And then why don't we come back and you can tell us about some of the best shows that you saw?
Sure.
At Bonnaroo. Does that sound good?
Yep.
Yep.
All right, Patrick, you're a fan of the Beatles, right?
Yeah, I love the Beatles.
You know, sometime late in the band's career, they started their own record label.
Yeah,
right?
Apple
Records.
I remember.
Right?
Yeah.
Now they've started a thing called Apple Podcasts.
Oh, that's fantastic!
Yes,
I didn't know those guys were still together.
Yeah. So if you go to what used to be called iTunes, it's now called Apple Podcasts.
Oh, that's
awesome! You can find all kinds of cool content there, and it's all blessed by Sir Paul McCartney and Ringo. And one of the things that they really like, I'm told, is
LSD
and Rock in the Suburbs.
Right.
And when you go to Apple Podcasts, as it's now called, you should rate Rock in the Suburbs. Give us a number of stars
Five.
That you think
Five.
Is appropriate.
Yep. Yeah.
And also write a little review.
Yeah. You know, take a few minutes, write your response to A Day in Life, or just talk about how you like our podcast.
That's right. And it comes to you every day of your life.
That's right.
Which is nice. And you can see the reviews that Paul and Ringo have left for us. And then you should do the same. Thanks. All right, we're back in the basement.
We're back.
And one thing we should mention before we get talking about Bon Rouge is what we're drinking. We like to do that.
Yeah, we do.
Patrick, you supplied me with very nicely with a Bell's Two Hearted Ale. I know it's one of your favorites.
One of the finest beers in America, in my
opinion.
I agree
with that.
Yeah.
I'm going to second that.
And Bill, what do you have?
I'm drinking a Lost Rhino Dawn Patrol, which is a India Pale Ale IPA. Mm-hmm. It's good. It's very good.
It's their session
IPA.
It's
not a face plant.
No.
But it's very good.
Mm-hmm.
It's super good.
It's their session.
And a face plant, by the way, we can only drink one.
That's right. Yeah, you don't want to drink too many of those.
And what are you having, Patrick?
I'm having some water right now, Jim. I'm a little dehydrated this week. But
Because why? What's going on in your house?
Yeah, I'm actually doing a home improvement project in my backyard. I ripped up our patio in the backyard. I tore up all the old pavers, and I'm putting all new ones down. And, of course, it's been the hottest week of the year.
Yes, of course, you picked the week where it's like 95 degrees.
Yes, exactly.
That's so a DIY rundown thing?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And why DIY?
Just because that's the way I roll. And
have you done patio pavers before?
No, and I'm finding it to be quite difficult. I'm about halfway through, and it looks fantastic. I gotta say, I'm doing good work, but man, it's hard and it's tedious, and you really got to stay on point to make sure you're doing it right.
Sand or concrete?
Sand.
It's a lot of leveling.
It is. Yep. And it was way unlevel before. That was a big problem. So preparing the site was the hardest part.
Wait, is this the area where you have the basketball hoop?
Yeah, in the backyard, right. But what had happened,
hoop in the backyard.
It was the original one, and the pavers had cracked, the old ones, and sort of shifted, you know, with sort of erosion and things, and the water was coming down toward the house, and we wanted it all leveled off and nicer looking. So
now, I will say the good thing about having that situation on your court is then you learn all the like little tricks of it, right?
Yeah, that's
so you have
right.
a good sort of home court advantage.
Oh, without
right?
a doubt, I'll be unbeatable in horse. Nobody will be able to touch me.
Very nice. Well, I hope you get better.
Yeah, I'm feeling like I'm getting better. Seeing you guys drink those beers, I might have to have one here in a little bit. My only question is whether or not I should do a fire pit at the end. Now that I've gotten this deep into it,
that is never a question, is it?
I should do it.
Yeah,
right?
I'm thinking about doing it.
You're going to put in a fire pit?
Thinking about doing it. Yeah, I've got it all torn up, and it's easy enough to just do it. So
you have to do that.
I think I will.
And we got to do podcasts around the fire pit. I mean, that would be the best.
All right,
fire time talks.
That settles it. Yeah, fire pit chats. Yeah.
Yes,
we'll reassure the nation.
And we can speak in very low, calming, soothing tones.
That's right.
Yes. Okay, where were we? Oh, yes, Bon Rouge.
Yes.
So, Bill, what were the best sets that you saw?
The best sets, let's see. And you know what? This is all very subjective, as you can imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I quiz my children, well, there was some overlap, which was surprising. My favorite was the XX.
Oh, interesting.
And,
okay.
It turns out to be the favorite of virtually everybody. Well, now, let's see. Of three of the six of us. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so that was pretty good. I mean, it was partly showmanship.
Mm-hmm.
They just had a beautiful setup. I mean, the lighting was very dramatic. You know, it's three people. It's Jamie X and XX or whatever, and then the two front people. And, you know, those guys have great voices. Something about it. It was just meant, you know, kind of you had to be there. But not only that, I am an XX fan, so it all came together. And actually, they were played just before U2.
Oh, nice.
To me, they kind of upstaged them.
Oh, did they really? Nice. Wow, interesting.
Which is hard for any band to do for me.
Yeah.
Not that U2 wasn't really fantastic, and I put them just a notch below, but it was, you know, XX. That was the one for me.
That's very cool. That's a good spot to be in.
They played like virtually all their hits.
Uh-huh.
Quote
unquote.
Hits
right.
XX.
But they count today as hits.
Yeah, they count today as hits.
You know
right.
I mean?
You can get at Sirius XMU and hear them. And then some new stuff it sounded like, and because I didn't recognize it at all. And it was fun.
That's very cool.
And Jamie XX, you know, he's such a mixer. So when he went off sometimes, you could watch him and it would think like, this guy, you know, has that talent.
Interesting.
To take a slightly different direction. So long riffs in between, or in the middle of songs. Just like, you know, and it's kind of, it is sort of EDM stuff at that point.
Yeah.
But it's okay, you know. Lots of rhythm with it.
That's very interesting. And I never think about them for some reason as a live band. I don't know why. The way their stuff is put together, I never think about them that way.
I've never seen them.
Yeah.
I thought this could be really bad.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because it's like, it seems like such a studio band.
Right. That's what I thought.
It was not that at all.
That is so interesting.
It was, their voices, the two leads, and I always forget their names, but they were just beautiful. Mm-hmm. You know, he's got this deep voice. She has this one, and they sort of played off of each other.
And pressure, they'll be crystallized. And you've got the faith that I could bring paradise.
I'll forgive and forget before I'm paralyzed. Do I have to keep up the pace to keep you satisfied?
I've gotten closer to the sun, and I've done things in small doses. So don't think that I'm pushing you away when you're the one that I've kept closest. Hi, hi, hi.
It was a very kind of sexual band moment.
Yeah.
Several of those in between them. So, anyway, okay. Am I allowed to say sexual? Yeah, on
absolutely.
This
yes. We can say butthole surfers, so we can say anything.
All right. There you go. So one thing that Bill did while he was at Bon Rouge was he got some recordings of some other fans. What did you do? Just go, walk around?
No. It was all our.
It was your group.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
That's still great though. How cool.
But one of the, so we'll play a little bit of this here. But one of the bands you really, you all really liked was the Orwells, right?
Oh yeah. The Orwells were fantastic.
Love that band.
Helen, what is your favorite band so far?
We've seen one band. Okay, two bands.
We've seen three.
The Orwells.
We've seen three bands. Hello. Orwells.
Orwells was the best.
Helen, were you even there?
What was your favorite band?
I'm going to ask him to
Borrow. So far, it's only been the Orwells.
It is the Orwells?
Painter's overalls, and he cut them off.
I know.
They were like Zixies or...
Steve is an old guy like me. Let's ask him. Steve, what was your favorite band?
The Orwells.
Orwells, why?
Because they rocked. They were awesome.
Yeah. The guy climbs up. His guitar's still up there.
Look at it. Oh, my God.
They rocked out with their cocks out.
All right.
Now they can't go on bass.
That's the intergenerational take on what's going on here. From young to old. All right, I guess I better stop.
Why are you making a voice recording?
I have to give it to a friend who's doing a podcast.
Orwells were just... so much energy. They were the second night or the first day, I can't remember. But they were early and they were just full of energy. There was a mosh pit. We were on the verge or in the mosh pit. And it you know, there's a lot of passing of bodies and you know, it was just total full out energy.
Great band.
Yes, they are.
Yeah, they are a lot of fun live.
Cage the Elephant.
Oh, yeah.
They were also just stupendous. I know it sounds like they're all stupendous, but these are the four that I can think of that were really...
Well, not them, I could see being a really fun live band. Yes.
Oh, my God.
Based on their music.
Just...
I would like to see them.
Yeah.
They're from Kentucky.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Are they really?
Bowling Green.
I had no idea.
That.
Yeah.
I knew a few of their songs, or thought I only knew a few of their songs, and then you listen to them live, and you realize 75% of them.
Oh, that's interesting. They're really, I like that feeling.
It's sort of like, oh, yeah, they did. Oh, that's them, you know?
Yeah.
Come a little closer than you see. Come on, come on, come on. Things are always what they seem to be. Come on, come on, come on. Do you understand the things that you can see?
seen any of these bands before?
I've seen U2.
Right.
No.
All right.
Mm, no.
That's very cool, too.
I haven't seen any of those bands before.
Do you think the festival setting, because of sort of the crowds and everything, makes the live experience better in some way? You know what I mean? Does it make you sort of, you know, does it sort of heighten the experience
know.
And make you like the band
to
more?
To me, it did, because it seemed more authentically charged when
right.
when the crowd really got going and was singing back to Cage and all
yeah.
that stuff. It seemed like it was just organic, as opposed to, you know, you're in a hall and waiting for them and then they do it.
Mm-hmm.
And this was, and they, you know, there are people streaming in through most of these concerts
yeah.
and kind of like building the energy. And, you know, Dram's a really good experience, because I don't know Dram and I didn't know them or him. It's this, uh-huh. you know, it's a rapper. It's this guy. And we were there in like the afternoon. The sun was just sort of slanting down, so it wasn't terribly hot
mm-hmm.
for once.
Yeah.
You know, there were bubbles like floating through the crowd.
Yeah.
So part of it was the atmosphere, but then the guy was so charismatic.
Oh.
Like I feel like he really related to the crowd, and he got people going, and it just became like a, you know, it was a party.
That's very
party
cool.
Party yeah. on the hill kind of thing.
And part of that is about vibe and about right and about setting. And what I think is really interesting about festivals too is that unless you are the headliner, unless you're the U2 or whoever is topping the bill that night, you do have to tailor your set away from what you would play if you were doing a headlining gig somewhere else,
yeah.
right? You've got to shorten yeah. it probably a little,
it,
and
yep.
you've got to pick some stuff, and you know you can't do it. You're probably not going to do an encore, right? And you've got a certain time
right.
you've got to hit. So I find that interesting to see what bands present in that in
yeah,
that
I
setting.
Mean, in some ways, I mean, the limiting thing on these festivals is that time thing
yeah.
because, you know, even though Orwell's played just an hour,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it was like, we all want it more, but that was their gig.
That's
and there
what
was
they
a
had.
Band coming on
yep.
after, you know, after. And so you,
yeah.
you know, you move to the next thing. But,
right.
But,
because people have their schedules color coded out. And
yeah.
Not,
that's
yeah.
it. I mean,
yeah.
that was a fantastic hour long concert.
Yeah.
You
without
know?
A doubt. Yeah.
yeah.
That's enough for me.
By the fourth day, how are you feeling?
A little burned out.
Okay.
Yeah. yeah. A little burned out. In fact, we were sort of lying around on that fourth day. We went in early into the center room, they call it, and my daughter was there with her friend, and we're sort of talking, and she was going to leave that day. But then some band started off. This is like 11 o'clock in the morning or something, and the energy started to come back.
Oh, that's
you know,
interesting.
Just because you're thinking like, okay, it's still pretty good. There's going to be some good music today.
Yeah.
And there was good music that last
that's
day.
That's very interesting. Yeah. Pulls right. you through.
Yeah, gets you through.
Cool.
Very cool.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Bill.
That's Bonnaroo.
This has been fantastic.
Thank you, Bill Horn.
Thanks, Bill.
Thanks for having
really
me, guys.
Really appreciate it. Please listen to Rock in the Suburbs, not just when you have a festival going on or anything like that, but really a lot of the time, right?
Every day.
Every day.
Every day.
You should listen to us on Apple Podcasts or Audio Boom or Stitcher or TuneIn.
Mm-hmm.
You can also visit our website, suburbspod.com, where you can find show notes and other musings,
mm-hmm.
right?
When Patrick remembers to update it.
That's yep. right. Also, you can find us on the social medias. That would be Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at
yep.
suburbspod. You can email us rock@suburbspod.com. So tell us about your Bonnaroo or other festival experience.
Please do.
And even better than that, call the Suburban Party Line and leave a message,
yes.
and we'll put your voice on the air.
That's the best thing to do.
The number is 612-440-1984. So do that. All right. Thanks again, Bill. I'm Jim Lenihan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
Over and out. Thanks.
We'll talk to you later.
Sand or concrete?
Sand.
Nice. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of leveling.
It is.